In February 2019, a crack team of Devon councillors declared a climate emergency. As a result, Action on Climate Teambridge was born. Sworn to protect our natural environment and become carbon neutral by 2030, they enlisted a team of wildlife wardens to join them in the fight against climate change and species loss. Working across grounds in Teambridge, you can find and you can support the ACT team.
Hello and welcome to the Devon Wildlife Warden podcast, hosted by me, Emily Marbay. In this episode, I will be bringing you the latest updates from our Teambridge Wildlife Wardens, and we'll be finding out what conservation work they've been up to. I'll also be talking to Wildlife Warden Coordinator Flavio about the scheme, as well as looking at what you can do at home or in your area to support our wildlife. In the last episode, I spoke about the importance of churchyards as wildlife refuges. Following on from this, you might like to know that it's Churches Count for Nature Week between the 5th and the 13th of June. Several organisations are encouraging anyone involved with a church to engage local communities to identify and record wildlife. This is called a BioBlitz for anyone who hasn't done one before. Any records you take get sent to the National Biodiversity Network, or NBN for short. I'll include a link to the NBN for you in the episode notes. Now, the Exeter Diocese is working with the Devon Biodiversity Records Centre to create a toolkit to help people record churchyard wildlife. During the week, the Church of England are also running a series of webinars on a range of wildlife-related topics. I'll also include a link for that too, and then you can get involved if you want to. In the last episode, I also spoke to Gary, a local beekeeper. You can see his latest bee article in Abtalk, the Abbots Kerswell Parish magazine. In it, he talks about how well the new hives up at the Priory are doing. This is in part due to their sunny aspect, which allows the hive to get up to the 12 degrees required for foraging flights, during which the bees gather pollen, water, and nectar, all of which are needed to support an expanding colony. And they are already growing, which is great to see. Gary also mentioned some celebrity beekeepers, which I thought was interesting and worth sharing. These included David Beckham, Bon Jovi, Morgan Freeman and Scarlett Johansson. Who knew? Now, what I'll do is I'll put a link to the Abtalk magazine in the episode notes, and this means that even if you don't live in the parish, you can still have a look at his article if you want to. And just to finish up speaking about bees, John Walters from the Bee Wild group in Buckfastleigh has put together a brilliant bee ID guide which covers about 50 species likely to be seen in the Teambridge or South Devon area. That resource can be seen via a link which I'll also put in the episode notes. And just circling back to the Abtalk magazine for a moment, I thought I'd mention that I have put together a little quiz. This will allow you to work out how helpful your garden is for wildlife. Alongside that is a short article explaining why our gardens are such important refuges or stepping stones, especially when you take into account just how many woodlands, hedgerows and meadows we have lost in the last 100 years or so, and as a result, how isolated many wildlife communities now are. If that's not out already, you should be able to see it in an issue coming soon. It's also great to see wildlife gardening becoming popular enough to support a primetime Saturday night TV slot. I caught the first episode of The Great Garden Revolution, which is on Channel 4 at 8 p.m. I'm sure you can probably see it on All 4 if you missed it too. In the show last week, they looked at insect hotels, green roofs, vertical gardening, and sensory gardening. There were loads of brilliant ideas on there, so if you haven't spotted it already, do take a look. And just remember, when you're at the garden centre buying stuff to enhance your garden for wildlife, try to get native plants. This is because our wildlife is adapted to eat and to live in species that have evolved in this location. And although we have some beautiful flowers and plants available to us at supermarkets and in garden centres, often these will not be native species. On top of this, please, please make sure you check the label for any compost you buy to make sure that it's peat-free. If it doesn't say peat-free, then it isn't. Now, I'm planning on having a more in-depth look at peat bogs in a later episode, so watch this space as well for that. And this leads me quite nicely into talking a bit more about the group Chudley Wild and what they've been doing to encourage people to get involved with wildlife gardening. In previous episodes, I mentioned that they were doing a big community drive to encourage people to make their gardens wildlife friendly. Those who met the criteria were able to claim a lovely little sign for their garden. Now, the criteria for this fall into four main categories: food, water, shelter, and management. For example, in the food category, you'd need to have something like a bird feeder, food plants, or a good nectar source available in your garden. In the water category, a bird bath, pond, or other water source. Then in the shelter category, bird boxes, hedgehog homes, log piles, things along those lines. And in the management category, they're looking at things like not cutting grass too frequently, not using herbicides or pesticides. And if a garden meets at least one criteria in each category, then they're able to get a sign to show that they're gardening for wildlife. Now, this is a lovely campaign because it combines community engagement with education in a really positive way. I'd love to see an example of a sign, please, guys, and maybe we'll pinch your idea here in Abbots Kurzweil. And of course, hopefully, lots of our listeners have been taking part in No Mow May and should by now be seeing the fruits, or, well, flowers, of their labour. Or lack thereof, labour? Close to home, and while on the subject of the importance of gardens as stepping stones or refuges for wildlife, we can also consider our roadside verges in that way. And this is something I'm starting to look at here in our parish. Our local council asked me to take a look at and update our biodiversity audit. Now, I wasn't really sure where to start, if I'm honest. It seemed like a really big task. I met up with some other villagers who have previous experience of community action, and I learned that they had already done much of what I needed to look at previously regarding the parish-owned spaces, so that took a large weight off my mind. But it also allowed me to think in a broader way about what I could do as part of this audit, and it led me to thinking about our roadside verges and habitat connectivity within the parish. To do this, my first point of call was to start looking at maps. I spent one Sunday afternoon printing out zoomed-in satellite maps of the parish so I could see all the large road verges, hedges, and wooded areas. This will allow me to assess how interconnected our village wildlife refuges and corridors are, as well as pinpointing roadside verges which are good candidates for future wildlife management. It's really early days, but I will keep you up to date on how that's going. And I can give a huge shout out to Amy and Barry, whose knowledge of the area and previous conservation efforts have been invaluable. Amy has also been hard at work making signs to help educate and protect some of the areas we are trying to manage for wildlife in the village. So if you're in Abbots Kurzweil, keep an eye out for those lovely hand-painted signs that she has created. In this next section of the podcast, I'm pleased to bring you an interview with Flavio. Now, Flavio is the Wildlife Warden Coordinator for Teignbridge. What follows is a little chat we had in my back garden so that we were COVID safe, so please excuse the background noise. Welcome, Flavio. Thank you very much for agreeing to speak to us for the podcast today. How are you?
Hi, Emily. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm great, thanks. It's a lovely day today.
It is very nice. A bit windy, but hopefully that won't pick up too much on the microphone. So I wonder if you could start off by just telling us a bit about yourself and kind of what your interest in wildlife is, kind of how did it come about?
So my interest in wildlife started when I was a child. I used to go to Stover Wildlife Watch Group meetings, and going out in nature and observing wildlife is really what got me interested. And then further down the line, I went to university and I graduated in conservation, biology and ecology in 2019. And since then, I've volunteered for several different organisations in Brazil, the UK and Jersey, doing different conservation projects. And before joining the scheme, I was a zookeeper at Jersey Zoo. And yeah, that takes me to where I am now, coordinating the Wildlife Warden Scheme.
Okay, excellent.
So how did the scheme actually come about? How did it get started?
So in 2019, Teignbridge District Council declares a climate emergency. And that's when Action on Climate in Teignbridge was set up. It's also known as ACT for short. So the ACT is split into different groups which aim to tackle different aspects of the climate and ecological emergencies. And the ecology group, which is led by Audrey Compton, realised that it could achieve so much more by training volunteers in the skills required to help wildlife flourish. And that's why the scheme was set up.
So I assume the aims are generally to help the wildlife. Is that correct, or is there more to it than that?
It's really to give wildlife the helping hand it needs to increase and to flourish and to get back to a healthy level again. Mm-hmm. As you know, nowadays there's a lot of pressure on nature, and it's basically trying to address those problems and trying to reverse those declines.
Okay, thank you. So at the moment we have a fair few wildlife wardens. I know I've been talking about it a bit in previous episodes, but I have also mentioned a few times that you're still on the lookout for more wardens as well. So whereabouts do you have the gaps that need to be filled still?
Well, we've got 65 people already signed up to the scheme, and we're really happy about that because the scheme starts in October and our aim was 50 in the first year. So we're doing great.
Especially when you consider COVID's been playing a big part in that as well.
Yeah, I think people, you know, during COVID, people noticed nature more, and that might have generated some interest.
Hmm.
But yeah, so we've got wardens for 32 of the 53 parishes and Neath and Abbott wards, which means we still have roughly 20 parishes without any wildlife wardens. The area of Teignbridge which is lacking and we have less wardens for is Dartmoor. So we've got wardens for Manerton, Moreton Hampstead and Dunsford, but the other Teignbridge parishes which fall within Dartmoor National Park don't have any.
Which is quite surprising because Dartmoor's a fantastic place to be a wildlife warden. There's so many unusual plants and habitats to be seen out there and to be looked after. So I'd imagine it's quite important that we actually get some wardens in place for those parishes. And how is the scheme progressing so far where you have got the wardens in place? Have they been quite active? Are they getting involved? Are they making much of a difference? How is it from your side?
Yeah, well, it's going really well. It's really uplifting to see that so many people are interested in helping wildlife in the area. We've got wildlife wardens doing lots of different projects. And that's what's really great about the scheme is that we've got lots of different people with loads of different ideas. For example, Emily, yourself, you decided to come up with a podcast, and we didn't expect anyone to do that. But everyone can come up with their own ideas and get involved in what they're interested in.
Mm.
So, and for example, I'll give a few examples. So in Chudley, they've got a wildlife gardening campaign at the moment, and they're giving awards out to households which are doing something good for wildlife in their garden. And they've already given out 60 awards, so
wow,
it's doing really well, and that's going to have a big impact. And other wardens are doing different projects which interest them. So one warden has got into contact with Teignbridge District Council, and they've got permission to create a wildlife area at Ogwell Cross Cemetery, and they've already planted a hedge with lots of native species, and they're creating a wildlife area. And yeah, hopefully that's going to create lots of good habitats for local wildlife and also an area which people can enjoy.
That's amazing. Yeah, what amazing work that those guys have been putting in. What do you see as the future for the scheme? Where do you see it going over the next few years?
So we're hoping to offer lots more training sessions. So recently we've been offering more because COVID restrictions are lessening and it's a bit safer to meet in small groups outdoors, and we recently offered wildflower identification training and aquatic invertebrate identification training, but we've also got other training sessions lined up, such as responding to planning applications. Mm-hmm. And we've got loads of other ideas, and hopefully we'll offer loads more of them in the near future. And we obviously want to get wildlife wardens for every parish and Newton Abbott ward in Teignbridge. But also outside of Teignbridge, we've had a lot of interest. So there's different groups who wanted to join our scheme. And as a result, Audrey has been talking to the Devon Local Nature Partnership, and they've really liked our scheme, and they are putting lots of information onto their website. I don't think it's live at the moment, but it will be soon. And that will help other groups throughout Devon to set up their own similar schemes.
That would be amazing. And I mean, if someone sat at home listening to this thinking, you know, I'd love to get involved, but I don't think I'm very good at identifying plants and animals. I don't really know much about ecology. You know, I don't think that I could really do very much to help. What would you say to somebody like that?
Well, we welcome anyone in Teignbridge to join up to the scheme, as long as you're interested in wildlife and can spare a few hours of your time every month. We don't ask for much, and we understand that lots of people are busy doing lots of other things. But yeah, you don't have to have any specific skills. We will provide training in different areas, and you can attend whichever training sessions you find interesting. The only one which is compulsory is the introductory training.
So actually what you're saying, to summarise, is that if you want to get involved, you can. You know, you don't have to have any special skills. You don't have to do loads. You can do as little or as much as you've got the time and the inclination to do, as long as it's, relevant to the scheme. Is that right?
Exactly. We encourage people to get involved with aspects of the scheme which interest them. And you don't have to spend loads of time, just as much time as you can afford to give. If you've got lots of time on your hands, then great. But if you haven't got as much, then you can. We're happy with whatever you can, any time you can volunteer.
Brilliant. So I think that kind of sums things up nicely. I really appreciate you taking the time to come over and have a chat to me in my garden this afternoon or this morning. And and I don't know if you've got anything else to add before we finish off.
Oh, thank you for having me. I think that covers most things. If you are interested, you can send an email to me at flavio@actionclimateteignbridge.org, and then I can send you some more information, and you can see if you think the scheme's right for you.
Fantastic. I will pop your email address in the episode notes for anyone who wants to do that, and I would encourage listeners to get in touch if they would like to help. So thanks ever so much again then, and hopefully we'll hear from you again soon.
Great, thank you.
Thanks again to Flavio for your time. Now, he did also ask me to extend some gratitude to the Devon Environment Foundation, Teen Energy Communities Community Fund, Councillor Jackie Hook's DCC Locality Fund, Dartmoor National Park Authority, the Nineveh Trust, and of course, our elusive anonymous donors. Without their generous assistance, ACT's Wildlife Warden scheme would not be possible, so massive thanks to them. So what else have our Teignbridge Wildlife Wardens been up to? Well, quite a few have been taking part in the West Country CSI project, monitoring the health of our watercourses. And a fair few others have been getting involved with Saving Devon's Treescapes, two projects which I talked about in earlier episodes. The big news over in Ogwell with their Ogwild group is that they've signed an agreement with the Woodland Trust to manage their rectory field site for the next 3 years and maybe beyond. Now, for the last 50 years, the site has been used for grazing with little other input. The 5-acre site lies next door to Ogwell Grange residential home, and they have been liaising with them about creating an access point so that the residents can take a look and enjoy the space without having to walk along what can be a busy and dangerous road. The Ogwell team will be improving the entrance area to make it more welcoming and, with the help of Devon County Council, hope to provide a bike rack as well. The team will need to carry out a variety of surveys to ascertain what wildlife habitats are already there and what can be created. There will certainly be some tree planting, and the plan is to allow villagers to be able to plant a memorial tree to remember a loved one, and if the site has a natural supply of water, Ogwild will also be looking to create a pond. Simply brilliant work as always, guys. Over in Holcombe-Burnell, Kate has started to record sounds in nature, and this will be uploaded to Radio Apparee. Now, before I go any further, I should probably explain what that is. Radio Apparee is a database of sounds recorded all over the world. A sound map, if you will. And it's not just nature sounds either. It's a collection of just about any sound from any location. So you might hear the hustle and bustle of tourists at the Colosseum, or buskers in London's South Bank. It's a really interesting resource, and with Kate's help, will allow parishioners to enjoy nature even if they aren't able to get outside. I'll include a link in the notes in case you'd like to check it out or contribute any recordings yourself. Kate has also been displaying amazing signs with wildlife ideas and information in the village, and has been involved with the West Country CSI project too, as mentioned earlier. More fab work! Well done, Kate. I'm going to talk a little bit now about other things you might like to get involved with yourself. I've just signed up for the 30 Days Wild Challenge, which is being run by the Wildlife Trusts. This challenge invites you to do something for nature every day for the 30 days of June, and provides you with loads of resources and tips to help you along the way. There are currently over 75,000 people signed up for this, and if you'd like to join in as well, you can find the link to do so in the episode notes. Another thing you might like to do is learn about the wonderful work going on over in the Avon Valley. At the end of last month, Abbots Kurzweil's own Lynn Kenderdine gave a fabulous talk about the work they have been doing there to restore and connect important habitats in the Avon Valley. Lynn is a Land Management Advisory Officer for the Devon Wildlife Trust and is working in partnership with Moor Meadows on this project. If you missed it, the talk is now live on YouTube on the Moor Meadows channel, and again, you guessed it, I'll include a link to it in the episode notes. It really highlights the importance of connecting not only habitats, but people too, and it's very much worth a watch. And while on the subject of meadows, this summer there are plenty of opportunities to visit some of these lovely spaces as part of Open Meadows 2021. I'll include details of this in the episode notes so you can browse the options at your leisure, but I wanted to draw particular attention to a few that are taking place here in Teignbridge. On Saturday the 5th of June from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m, Kingswood House in Buckfastleigh will be open. Owners David and Jackie Crook's wonderful restored meadows comprise of 5 acres which used to be heavily grazed pony paddocks. They took over the property in 2008 and they've turned them in just a few years into flower-rich grasslands, alive with wildlife and supporting many species of plant. They should be looking lovely by the time they're open, with many oxeye daisies and southern marsh orchids, as well as the likes of yellow rattle and eyebright to be seen. Also in Buckfastleigh, on Saturday the 12th of June, Brook Manor is opening up for your pleasure. You can enjoy a walk through the flower-filled meadows on an idyllic county wildlife site owned by Kevin and Donna Cox. There are a whole variety of habitats, including semi-ancient natural woodland, hay meadows and an established, species-rich wet meadow. Now you can explore these at your own leisure on a self-guided trail, and you are welcome to bring a picnic and enjoy the tranquility of this special place. However, booking is essential due to limited parking, so do check that and make sure you book before you go. If you're looking for something a bit more easy to access, why not go for a visit at Teign Grace Meadow near Heathfield in Newton Abbot? These 33 hectares of meadow were spectacularly created on top of clay waste from nearby quarries, and the site is now a haven for wildlife and is open to the public. For the best wildflower displays, visit between March and October. If getting out and about isn't your thing, there is an online event coming up called Dragonflies in Devon Conservation Communities. Dave Smallshear, British Dragonfly Society Recorder for Devon, and co-author of the book Britain's Dragonflies, will give an introduction to the biology of this fascinating group of insects on Thursday the 27th of May. This online event is being held by Devon Wildlife Trust, and again I'll include a link if you'd like to sign up to watch it. That's about it for now from the Devon Wildlife Warden podcast. If you have any eco news you'd like to share for the next episode, feel free to send it across. For now, farewell, and I hope you feel inspired to do something, however small, for your local wildlife. This podcast was narrated and produced by Emily Marbe, with music by Scott Holmes Music.